the best coaches in the game. We really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we hit the block, helmets casket is top. You be seeing helmet after helmet, helmet after helmet. First place, second place, fifth place, eighth place, 12th place, 15, 16, 20. So many helmets, you got blurred vision. We got
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another Bold Calls season-long fantasy football podcast. My name is Kevin Allen, a.k.a. The Geek. I'm your host, and I've got my man, the season-long goat himself, season-long says, Allen Seslowski, with me as always. What's up, Sez?
That microphone repair that you did there, you sound like crisp and clean again. It's so good to actually hear you after the last couple of podcasts where, what, you have the mic backwards, you said?
As it turns out, there is a little silver sort of button on the front of this microphone that it's supposed to be facing me. It was facing the opposite direction. That's what happens. You know what? I need to go back to like the $3 mic that always sounded great.
No, you sound fantastic now. So yeah, get into it. Tell the people what we're going to be doing today.
Let's talk about what we're doing today. And I'm excited because this podcast concept came from just a conversation you and I were having on the phone. And we're talking about, we're breaking down this draft that you just participated in. It's the RotoWire Online Championship Draft. This is specifically the Chrysalis High Stakes League, based around the Chrysalis show on Sirius Fantasy. Some kind of big name participants here. Well, break it down for me. Who's in this pod and how did you find out, or who's in this draft? How did you find out about it? And tell us about your experience in this specific league.
So the NFFC, which is one of the leading high-stakes fantasy football draft companies out there right now on the internet, they do something called the RotoWire Online Championship. And what they do is they have some fantasy analysts. Chrysalis runs this league, and 11 people compete against Chrysalis in a 12-team format. And there is a league prize. It's a $350 entry, so it's high stakes fantasy football. And then there's an overall component. There's about 100 of these leagues going on, and the top two finishers in each league will be part of a 3-week playoff, which includes a $200,000 prize. But for purposes of this league, also participating in it was Yahoo Fantasy Football's Dalton Del Don. So there's definitely some experienced players, along with a bunch of NFFC experienced players, where it's a one quarterback league, two running back, three receiver, flex, tight end, kicker, and defense, and then there's a 10 bench. There's no trading in this league, but it's not best ball. You do have to set your lineup every week, so that should set the stage pretty much. You get to request your draft slot, and then there's a Kentucky Derby-style drawing to see where you want to be. My personal preference was pick 1, 2, 3, and then after that, I put 12, 11, 10, and then I mix and match the other draft slots. I was awarded the 11th slot, so that was the fifth priority. And what's interesting about picking late in this draft is that we use a third-round reversal format, which means in the third round, the order reverses. So you're going to go 1 through 12, 12 through 1, and then in the third round, 12 through 1 again. So not only am I picking on the 1-2 turn geek, I'm also picking at the top of the third round, which was part of my strategy.
Yeah. So, I mean, the biggest one of the things we talked about in advance. So let me fully grasp the entirety of the rules here. So three wide receiver, two running back, one flex. Not a super flex league, so one quarterback position, one kicker defense, and full one bench. Is there any sort of TE premium going on here?
No tight end premium, and the 10 bench is key also, because in a 10 bench league, every team is going to take two quarterbacks, if not more. The waiver, so that it has to work into your strategy. I mean, you can just take, in your normal 16-round draft, most teams are going to just take one quarterback. Maybe a couple teams will take two quarterbacks, and there'll be a few on the waiver wire. In a league like this where the benches are deep, the onesie positions, the tight end and the quarterback, people are still going to take multiple because you can hold players.
Yeah. Yeah, and a deeper bench, much less going on waivers potentially than what you might see in your standard like league against your friends, where usually you only have like a 5 or 6 deep
correct
bench. Now, let me ask you this question. You chose a late spot in the draft, and what I'm curious to see, and as we review this draft, and we'll look at your draft, we'll look at certainly Chris Liss's draft, and we'll look at Dalton's draft as well, and then maybe some of the other drafts, just a quick kind of run through to see who we think look really good or maybe had some sketchy picks. I see a really sketchy one I'm going to be interested to talk about.
And by the way, if you want to get a closer look at the draft board, which right now is on our screen, but if you're listening on the podcast after, I pinned it on my Twitter, at Alan Seslowski. It's pinned, and you could see the full draft board. It's there. It's the first, obviously, it's the pinned tweet.
That's literally what I'm looking at as you're looking at the screen.
Yeah, but it's also on the screen, and I can,
go to alanseslowski.com. And that reminder was, of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, if you're listening to this on Stitcher, iTunes, whatever, wherever you're at, make sure to like and subscribe to these pods so you get them whenever they come out and you get notified as we go live stream. And you can ask questions during the draft or during the pod. But let's take a look at yours. So one interesting decision you made here, and it was a strategic one, it looks like, was to go for the corners, right? You said, hey, give me one of the first three or one of the final three. Now, the first thing I want to ask before we even get into it, because I have issues with drafting at the ends, because you really can't wait for value to drop to you. You have to attack like a strategically. So how do you strategically change your approach when you're drafting at the corners rather than in the middle? Give me an idea of like how you're changing up your approach. And I guess we'll get into it as the picks come up where you use that change in approach.
Yeah, no, you said it exactly right. You need to be an experienced player and get very comfortable drafting on the ends. And what I mean by that is that you ADP is you got to be okay and comfortable taking players ahead of their average draft position. You have to be aggressive because the tiers run out quickly. And if it comes around to you and you're like, oh, I can kind of pass on that player because I like a whole bunch of guys in this tier, just remember it's going to be 24 picks or more, before you pick again. So if there's not 20 players in that tier, usually there's no 20 player tiers. You have to be willing to be the first. Usually you want to be the last. You want to get the last guy in your tier, which means you got the best value. But you have to be comfortable at times getting the first guy in your tier and going into and dipping into the next tier. And you'll see I did just that. And what happens is when you do that, you set yourself up for the next few rounds of being of getting the values. So if you want to just dive right into it, my strategy right off the bat, picking at in the 11th spot and knowing that I was going to have, I wanted two running backs there. I know this is the year we talk about it on all the podcasts where running backs are going quickly. And I was prepared to pass on some of the wide receiver talent. I thought maybe Davante Adams would fall. He did not, but I was okay getting Kenyon Drake. That was my target at the 11th pick. Now in you and I like, you know, we have Drake solidly in the first round, but ADP does not. ADP has Drake going at pick 15, 16. So that surprised the board a little bit.
I love the pick. I love the pick, but you know how we feel about the Dreezy.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So because just the first round went like this. For those listening on the audio cast, I'll just rip through. McCaffrey, Barkley, Elliott are seem to be the consensus top three. Those guys went 1, 2, 3. Alvin Kamara is now solidly four with the Dalvin Cook news, meaning that he's got a little bit of a holdout threat. And also remember towards the end of last year, he had a shoulder injury and it was one of those injuries where he was popping it back in himself. So as you can see that always adds a little bit of doubt. So the real decision point for a lot of drafts, and that was obvious in this one, it comes at number five. Do you take Michael Thomas and Chris List did, or do you go on to some of the other marginal running backs? I mean, where are you at in these first rounds? Like at five, what are you doing if those first four running backs are off the board?
I'm following suit with Chris here. I'm absolutely taking Michael Thomas in that spot. And for good reason, you actually mentioned it. So Dalvin Cook, he's got a couple things going on. And there's a clear delineation between the top four running backs and the next. I'm not happy about it. Like picking fifth, it's not my ultimate choice of where I want to pick. But if I'm there, I'm taking Michael Thomas because just what you said, Dalvin Cook is absolutely an injury risk. He's certainly holding out. We'll see what happens with that. But I don't think that'll be a thing where we have to worry about it too much. But he's just an injury risk. And that Vikings team knows it. He just hurt every year. And so they're going to be splitting his time a lot more with Alexander, Madison, and some of the other running backs on that team. I don't think he needs the volume. to
produce. By the way, quick shout out to in our chat room, Zapdraft. Zapdraft is I checked out some of their preliminary their game. They're a new best ball company that's launching. That I can't wait for that game to launch. They look like they have an interface that rivals any best ball game out there. So just a quick shout out to them for supporting the cause over here in the DFS Army.
Anyway, there we go.
Back to the draft here. So the other player of note, I mean, there's a lot of great players in this, but I was interested to see what Dalton Del Don was going to do of Yahoo Sports. And at pick 7, he drafted one of our favorite players in the first round. We love Joe Mixon, right? And you and I are both happy to take Mixon at that point in the middle of the 7th pick of the first round, or are you not as comfortable as I?
Listen, I think you're taking a running back there. And I will tell you personally, that I'm taking Kenyon Drake in that spot.
Me too.
Oh, but okay. All right. There we go. So yeah, I just want to be clear where I am, but I'm not criticizing this pick. I think we're oddly higher on Drake than
no,
other
not
people
oddly.
Are.
See, this is the thing. Okay, so and I heard Chris Liss on the radio talking about how he thought Drake, he didn't trust Drake as a first round pick. And again, if he's talking about it in the Chris Liss draft, I knew I would be safe getting him at 11. If I thought there was even a hair of a doubt that I wouldn't get Drake at 11, I would have requested pick 7 to get him there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you were, and we talked about this. It's funny. You and I talked before you got into this draft, and I said, man, if you can get Drake, the Dreezy, and then Eckler. I mean, it worked out exactly as planned, which I love about your portion of the draft. But let's go back to Dalton's pick of Joe Mixon. Listen, he could have taken Drake there. He'd take Sanders, Henry. I don't think there's a bad pick.
Well, I do.
From that group. You don't like Henry because of you have an issue with the PPR.
Well, listen to this. Okay, so let's look back to the last couple of years, right? And Derrick Henry mostly disappointed people until the very end of the season. He did have an epic run. I mean, he had an all-time yardage and touchdown season. He had like 1,800 total yards and 18 touchdowns. I mean, betting on that, and he still only finished as RB6. RB6.
Now, he didn't come on until the second half of the year. They were still using him in a weird way in the early half. I think that
it's a very dangerous.
Dangerous for any time you're in a full point PPR league. But I used to have this feeling about Marshawn Lynch, and he would always produce. So, but anytime you're in a full PPR league, there's a little bit of extra concern with a touchdown scoring machine that doesn't count passes, because if he doesn't score touchdowns like a machine, he's going to be trouble. So
yeah, but Marshawn Lynch, from his rookie year forward, did it year in and year out. Derrick Henry, like I said, his first couple of years, he did not produce. Now, maybe the genie's out of the...
Who was the coach there?
I mean, either way.
Jeff Fisher?
Yeah, I mean, there was a Jeff Fisher in, but there was other coaches too.
Yeah.
There was other coaches too. And I'm not saying Derrick Henry can't be, he just has to get, in order to return his value where he's getting drafted, he has to match that epic season last year. That's a big ask.
It is a lot, and I definitely like him a lot more in half point or no PPR leagues. I think he would be top five borderline pick ahead of Kamara in that style of league. So
all right. So here was my strategy geek going in. So I knew I wanted the two PPR backs, right? I wanted Drake and Eckler, and I was fairly confident I would have no problem getting him. I did have a backup plan if I couldn't get one of them. I was going to take Nick Chubb there, and I know there's some limitations with the PPR upside. And for some reason, if the guy on the wheel took both Eckler and Chubb, then I was good to take Josh Jacobs there. Again, I wouldn't have felt great about it, but I got my two PPR guys.
You would take in a full PPR league Josh Jacobs ahead of Melvin Gordon. I just want to be clear on this.
Well, in a vacuum, I do like Melvin Gordon better, but I was playing ADP. So
you were hoping that Melvin Gordon's going to fall to you in the next pick.
Yeah, I was playing ADP. But if I was given the choice, yes, I want Melvin Gordon ahead of Josh Jacobs. So
we want to be clear on that.
Yes. But at pick 14, so remember, in third round reversal, not only am I going to have pick 11 in the first round and 14 in the second round. So that's 2.2. I'm going to get the second pick in the third round, because after it goes all the way through the second round, it resets in third round reversal. So my plan, geek, was to take Melvin Gordon at 3.2. I knew in a draft like this, where there's sharp drafters, that it was going to be, there was a chance it wouldn't happen. So at that point, before the draft, I said to myself, am I going to force the third running back there, or am I going to take in a league where you need to start three receivers, they're going to take a rock wide receiver. And that's the dilemma. As it turned out, Melvin Gordon was gone. So I had to choose between James Conner, Todd Gurley. Those are the next two best running backs on my board. And then Allen Robinson, Kenny Galladay were the two, and Odell Beckham were the three wide receivers that I was looking at that point. I ended up ultimately going Allen Robinson. What would you have done there?
All right. So I'm looking at the third round of the draft here, right? And you've got, so you've got Drake, you've got Eckler. I'm trying to think. The round ends with Julio Jones, and it goes all the way back to the beginning. And now Team 12 Giannotti grabs Mark Ingram, who maybe that's the guy if he was still there that you're taking. Now you're looking at Allen Robinson, Jonathan Taylor available.
I would not have taken Jonathan Taylor, just so you know. There's no way I would.
Rookies this year as much. We'll get to that. Right? We don't like the rookies. No training camp. Here's James Conner, Leonard Fournette. All of these guys, Chris Carson, Todd Gurley, still on the board.
Right.
Allen Robinson being taken here ahead of Kenny Galladay, Odell Beckham, DJ Moore.
And Mike Evans. Those would be the other guys that would have been in consideration. Yeah. Now, when I went down the list in my head, Mike Evans still perfectly good. I just don't like the way it matches up with Tom Brady. I just think that Mike Evans is going to be fine, but in my rankings on the DFS Army website, I have Allen Robinson ahead of all those guys you just named. There is, even at very minimum, I just don't see a situation where Allen Robinson walks into less than 150 targets. And we talked about this offline, and here was the rationale, is that doesn't matter who's quarterback, Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky, if they throw the football 550 times, and that's even a low amount, right? They don't have a second receiver. It's Anthony Miller. And then there's no tight end to speak of. They don't really throw to the running back other than Tariq Cohen. How the hell does Allen Robinson get less than 150 targets? And he could be looking at like 165, and that's like old school DeAndre Hopkins workload.
Unless the Bears pursue, and they might, unless they pursue an extreme agenda of defense and running with.
Even so, though, let's say they do that. Let's say they only throw 500 times, which would be the lowest in the last 5 years of any team. Allen Robinson's not getting 150 of those?
No, I think Allen Robinson's the primary guy. Listen, I like Allen Robinson. He's on all my dynasty teams. Like, I have him. And, yeah, you know, he's been great with no quarterback play. The only negative is he still really has no quarterback play because I don't think Nick Foles is very good. Yeah, and I know that Mitch Trubisky is very bad, but again, he's produced with those guys.
Yeah, he's produced with bad quarterback plays. But, and even if it's bad quarterback play, 150 targets is going to yield 90 catches. He's going to get his yardage. And I mean, if the under over for touchdowns is anything under 7, I'm taking the over. So
my only thing is I might have taken DJ Moore ahead of Allen Robinson for me.
Yeah. I mean, I thought about it, but DJ Moore, he is dynamic. We love him in PPR and I think he's going to be great. It's just that I could see a situation where there's so many targets there with Christian McCaffrey. Well, there's some talk now that Curtis Samuel is going to be used a little bit more. They brought in Robbie Anderson. It's a new quarterback. Sure, it could be defended. I wouldn't hate if somebody did it, but I just felt like there's such a high floor and a wide receiver one overall finish ceiling for Allen Robinson. There was
easy to nitpick. All right, let me look around the draft board because I want to. Now we're into round three, and I want to get a sense of what everybody's doing here. One draft, and this just stands out to me as a little bit odd. Is Team 12 went for Lamar Jackson first, then he's taking the rookie Edwards-Helaire. Not really sure that I would have done that. Right there, I think Edwards-Helaire was definitely a reach.
Yeah, no, that team, Team 12, if you look on there, just going down this draft, Jackson, Helaire, Ingram, Marquise Brown, Dobbins, like just, and Keyshawn Vaughn, like every single one of those picks felt a little reachy.
What I said. That one draft, Marquise Brown there, just that draft feels like.
Right. I mean, no need to focus on that draft,
no,
you know?
I mean, but it looked a little odd. Now I want to jump over to Chris Liss's draft here.
Yeah, he had the
very
one of the most
interesting strategy being employed here by Chris. You know, so he starts out with Michael Thomas, and just the value is falling to him. And I don't know if this was planned or this is just how things went. If you're picking fifth overall, though, okay, you've taken Michael Thomas. Now it's round two. Okay, all the running backs that you kind of wanted are gone. Reek is hanging out. We know we love fucking Reek. And then at that point, other,
he went best player on the board with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, he's taking the best guy, right? And all of a sudden, you look up and you're like, am I doing a zero RB thing here? So now round three comes around. And that's where I think...
Remember, round three is reversal. So he's going, it's right to left.
I know. If you see it on my screen, I'm pointing to it.
Yeah.
But you can't see that. It starts with Ingram. It's coming back around. And Fournette gets off the board. Connor is gone. Fucking Terminator. Now he's like, do I want Chris Carson and his yeoman-like, kind of production? Do I want to take a shot with Todd Gurley? I think I might have taken the Gurley pick there.
No. He's also a major Odell Beckham fan. And I know, he's a smarter player than that. But, you know, Chrysalis has maintained that Odell Beckham, he still thinks that he could be wide receiver
Odell.
Yeah, so
there we go.
Get him in the third round is a steal for him, and you know what it is. I mean, it's a great value there. So I could see that now you're in Odell is your third wide receiver in a three receiver league PPR. I mean, just think about how many catches and points you're going to get there. You're not going to ever have to play the guessing game. He's fully committed in by the third round to the zero running back.
The zero running back thing is happening here now. Like I said. I think this is nitpicking, but I think I like DJ more than Odell as well. But like, if you believe that Odell has that bounce back, if the new regime, and we do believe that in Cleveland is going to produce a wholesale change, the lack of Landry early in the season, everything is pointing up for Odell here. So totally, totally cool with this. And now he's got this whole zero RB thing going on, which you could see here. He continues through with Andrews and McLaurin in the next few picks. Let's jump over to Dalton, who goes the exact opposite in his draft.
Yeah, so Dalton Dildon, he went with Mixon, which we definitely like as a first-round pick, came back, and I've never seen Melvin Gordon go in the round two. This was the first time. It didn't surprise me because I checked out Dalton's rankings ahead of the draft to see where he might go, and he has Melvin Gordon that high. He does have him there. So he stayed true to his rankings. That disappointed me. As I said earlier, I was hoping that Melvin Gordon would fall to the third, but then in the third round on the reversal, he was committed to the three running back situation, and he has James Conner. James Conner, he's grossly undervalued in a lot of these drafts. I mean, he was a late first round pick last year, suffered an injury. And then now he's going in in the fifth round in February. Now he's up to the third round. James Conner, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers did draft a rookie in the fourth round. They have a couple other slugs and Benny Snell and Jalen Samuels behind him. James Conner with Big Ben coming back looks like a locked in three down back, man, with pass catching skills. James Conner might end up being one of this year's third round running back star, which is what Aaron Jones was last year.
It's absolutely possible. There are absolute risk factors with every running back in this group. So just to be clear, hey, if I've made the decision, and I always like to see what are my alternatives. I've made the decision. Okay, I'm going three running back. I don't give a fuck. And it's clear that this season you kind of need to do that because the running back talent drops off really fast. So he's looking at Connor, Fournette, Chris Carson, Todd Gurley, or Le'Veon Bell as his options. And I mean, if you want to count David Johnson in that mix, I don't.
I don't.
So yeah, I don't. So of this group, the risk that James Conner carries, in my opinion, is first, he's gotten injured a little bit over his career, which is concerning. But, running backs get hurt. There's also the injury risk to Ben Roethlisberger. So when Roethlisberger goes down, that whole team seems to take shit. And so, there's that secondary risk. But the flip side is the upside here. Running backs playing alongside Ben Roethlisberger, going back virtually the entire Ben Roethlisberger career, have always produced regardless of what their name is, unless it's some fucking guy who's really, really garbage. So like outside of the worst guys who can't catch a pass, when you're a running back on a Ben Roethlisberger helmed team, it's just a situation that creates scoring opportunities, especially PPR scoring opportunities to the running back position. They always do it. Remember, D'Angelo Williams would step in and just go bananas for that team. It didn't matter who it was.
So looking at Dalton's draft, so if you go the three running back route, and I'm looking, comparing it to mine, because I passed on that exact start for Allen Robinson III. He did what I was originally planning on doing. And now let's take a look at what happened with his wide receivers. In round four, A.J. Brown, he went back to the running back well with Cam Akers in round five. And then six, seven, eight, he went Devontae Parker, CeeDee Lamb, Deontay Johnson. Now, here's the problem. In a best ball, this is great because you never have to guess which receiver to start. But this is not a best ball geek. All right. So he's going to be starting A.J. Brown, Devontae Parker. And then my guess is he will not start CeeDee Lamb. He'll have to do that awful start sit thing in the with his wide receiver three between Jamison Crowder and Deontay Johnson to start the season. There's no way week one you're just putting CeeDee Lamb out there as a rookie when he's the third running back. That's again in the seventh round, CeeDee Lamb in a redraft. It just feels a little rich for me. You've outlined the reason saying that the rookies are not right. It's just a bad
CeeDee Lamb. You cannot start CeeDee Lamb.
Right. That was the argument why I wanted that rock wide receiver in the third round.
Can I tell you something? If I'm Dalton and I'm looking back on my draft, and you know how I always do this in my own drafts, I try to, once you have the board in front of you, you're like, where did I go wrong? He went wrong in pick number five, in my opinion, taking Cam Akers instead of grabbing another quality, like a Terry McLaurin right there, Tyler Lockett. I don't like Cortland Sutton, so I'm not going to include him in that mix, but I'm taking Terry McLaurin there. So I've got A.J. Brown, McLaurin, Parker as my 1-2-3 sort of.
Yeah, it feels more reliable because even A.J. Brown, who we agree is going to be a future star. I mean, there's nobody in the industry that doesn't think that A.J. Brown's going to be a star. But I can see a little bit of a bumpy road for this next season, meaning like, you know, he'll have some down games and every receiver does.
I think Brown is great. I think Brown is great. My issue is, too. You know, there's no WR4. There's a lack of one player here. I just think McLaurin looks much better slotted in there. Of course, that could be wrong. Cam Akers could explode onto the scene. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think Akers is part of a three-man committee. He is not going to take over that backfield this year.
So then
let's jump back over to your draft.
Well, I was going to say the other thing that happens in these drafts is that in one quarterback drafts is the wait on QB game. So my plan going into this geek, so I'm just going to pull up the draft board again here. Just going down, when we last left off, we saw in my 11th spot in the early third, I took Allen Robinson, came back. I actually wanted Calvin Ridley at the end of the fourth round, but DJ Shark, he went one pick before me, Ridley. So I took DJ Shark, very happy. You and I have discussed on multiple podcasts how much we love Shark. Okay. When it came around in the fifth round, that's where I saw the last of the running back tier that I thought had a chance to at least be a top 20 serviceable PPR guy. I don't have Devin Singletary on any team. It's funny how sometimes these players just fall to you and you don't have them on any team. I had to be comfortable taking Singletary, and especially at the draft price in the fifth round, especially as the running backs were about to hit like a complete dry spell. You and I have talked about Raheem Mostert. I don't like him at this ADP. David Montgomery's interesting. It feels like a low upside pick. Those are my other choices there. Kareem Hunt. So I wanted to take another receiver here or an impact tight end, but ultimately I just thought the running back inflation was so much and Singletary felt like the last player in the tier of startable running backs. And now he's my RB3.
I will tell you, this is another spot where I don't love the pick that much. So I'm just looking through all of the drafts, trying to get a sense of where everybody is maybe wishing they could have something back. I don't love the pick of Singletary. It's fine. I don't hate it. I do agree with you. I think he's pretty much the last guy who's probably going to be kind of like a three down starter. Singletary does not, or he hasn't produced touchdowns in his career because Josh Allen definitely wants to take those touchdowns for himself and run
absolutely
them in.
He wants to take touchdowns himself. They brought in Zach Moss, who's going to have some touchdowns. Like when I'm drafting Devin Singletary in the fifth round, my idea is that he's going to have about four or five touchdowns. But what I do think is that he showed that he belongs in the NFL last year. He's a capable pass catcher. He's shifty. And I think is my third running back, which I will be putting him in my flex, but if I need to start him in any week, you're very comfortable. my draft as a whole, I thought I only drafted four running backs, and I wish I would have gotten more, but just it never, it the value was just never there. And also in your regular season long leagues with the waiver wire, running backs are more apt to pop up than wide receivers, which is why I wanted to make sure that I secured my wide receivers.
I would have been in this situation, maybe grabbing a Robert Woods in that spot, maybe grabbing a Terry McLaurin in that spot instead. And
I thought about it. I thought about it, but I knew I was going to be going Will Fuller in the next round. And as we've said on multiple podcasts, that is the way to play fantasy football. If we think back to week 5 last year, when Will Fuller against Atlanta had over 200 yards and 3 touchdowns and 55 fantasy points, we know that Will Fuller is the type of player that can push you up the standings. We've said it before. And in my wide receiver 3, I'd rather have Singletary, who, again, no one's excited to take him, but I know I have a nuclear option for in the next round coming with Will Fuller.
And there's no other options for you at running back. I agree with you. Singletary above Mostert. Raheem Mostert could be great, but no. He is like Derrick Henry light. Okay,
he doesn't I don't even think so, because Derrick Henry at least is guaranteed 20 carries a game.
Well, that's what
Raheem Mostert is going to get like 12.
Yes, and he does not catch passes, so we don't like that. David Montgomery, just not a team I want. It's not a winning team. It's not for me.
It's kind of similar to Devin Singletary, except the opposite. He doesn't catch the passes, but he's going to get more carries. It's kind of, you know,
he will get the goal line carries. And David Montgomery has, I would bet Montgomery to score more touchdowns than Singletary, but not necessarily be as productive. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. But if it's me here, I'm saying, fuck it. Breida is a guy. I would have been down with Breida as my third running, who you got a lot later, and said, you know what? Fuck it. Let me get Terry McLaurin here. Now I've completed Robinson, Shark, McLaurin, a young group. Add Fuller in the next round. You're looking great. Now let's look around at some of these other drafts.
Got another comment, man. Thanks, Draft, man. We definitely appreciate you listening. You know,
absolutely. Can't wait to do some best balls over there. Yeah. All right. So let's look at some of these other drafts now. Again, so now let's jump back over to some of these interesting ones. Team one, Wasoski, right? He takes Christian McCaffrey first overall.
Yeah, he had an interesting draft, didn't he?
Got the GOAT player, right? The best player in the draft by far. And by the way, I will say this real quick. Christian McCaffrey is a level up for your team that is such a reason to take the first pick. It makes everything else worthwhile.
I mean, everybody wants the first pick. You got to get lucky. And chances are, if your league does a random draft order, you're not going to get the first pick.
That's
and
right.
if you do get it, if you have that 1 in 12 chance of getting it, you have that 8% chance of getting it. Of course, you're going to take Christian McCaffrey in a PPR. It's a no brainer.
Just to be clear, if you're in any kind of a league and you have a choice of which pick, and they're like, oh, you want to take 12, even third round reversal, I don't care. You always take McCaffrey because he is levels above even number two. And number two, Saquon Barkley, is levels above number 3 and 4. So 1 and 2 are levels above every other pick.
Yeah, we're not breaking any news here.
No,
so
no, I want to be clear on that. Now, Julio, so he's got Christian McCaffrey. Now Julio drops. Okay. DJ Moore drops, I think.
So remember, going back to this guy's draft, Julio fell to 24, and then his next pick is pick 36.
36, you know, DJ Moore falls to him. He's like, oh my gosh, and Mike Evans is here. You know, this was a point where all of the quality running back, he was probably hoping, here's what I'm thinking. He might have been hoping that a Gurley, a Connor, somebody would fall to him here at the end of round 3, maybe even, I don't know, anyone, but they don't. So Moore falls, right? Moore, like I said, I might have taken Moore with your pick earlier in round 3, so here, Moore has taken a precipitous fall. He's like, oh my God, I'm so lucky. I'm taking DJ Moore. What a great guy. And now, okay, what do you do? So he Mike Evans is hanging out there. There's no really good quality running backs left. All of a sudden, you know, team one is Mr. 0 RB or 1 RB. It's just interesting how it went down. I don't, you know, now you gotta kind of fill in towards the end where he takes 3 kind of like W.
Yeah, well, when you take Christian McCaffrey, the first pick, and then the draft falls to you, so you stack your wide receivers, okay? What you're committed to at that point is you're just going to do a season-long shuffle of your second running back. You're going to take, as you see later on in the draft, he went for those PPR and high upside backups. He took Tariq Cohen, James White, Alexander Mattison. He's hoping that there's some problems with Dalvin Cook. I mean, that's the exact right way to do it.
Only way to go.
you're yeah. always, you're shuffling through.
He fell into that though. I don't even think that was planned.
No, it's one of those things where you just kind of take how the draft goes to you. But if you're calculating ADP, especially in the NFFC where, you know, the running backs are getting pushed up, you're absolutely, this is a strategy you must be prepared for. I was prepared for it on the end cap where I am. I was in a situation where Eckler and Drake both went off the board. I was prepared to go Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill and be a zero running back player. So. A
couple other interesting notes on some other teams. I want to mention everybody. I'm sure the guys from this league will all kind of watch this, so I want to give everybody a little bit of a mention. But I'm looking at Team 4 here, and a couple of things I really like what he did. Kitchen is his name. He's got Kamara. He made sure to get Lats Murray in Round 9, which I think is absolutely critical that you do that. So he gets Kamara in Round 1. Nice combination with Chris Carson. I'm not big on Marlon Mack, but what are you going to do? Right? It is what it is. Now, he backs up Chris Carson with Carlos Hyde. So I like the handcuffing going on Team 4 Kitchen's team. And he's got a nice little trio of wide receivers with Godwin, Juju Smith-Schuster, who dropped significantly in my mind. And, you know, he fills it out with AJ Green. We'll see how that goes. I think I would have been taking Devontae Parker there or someone else, but yeah.
AJ Green felt a little early in that one, but he crushed that Team 4 with his first, you know, with his with getting Juju in the fourth, Zach Ertz in the fifth. I mean, he had room to make a few errors there. See, what I think is interesting about these drafts also is where the quarterbacks go, and I think that's something we should totally discuss. I mean, in a one quarterback league, yes, you can definitely wait for QB. And you know, in this particular draft, Lamar Jackson went in the first round. I mean, and we understand why. I mean, you know, we're not going to critique that move, you know. And Pat Mahomes, you know, I thought about him at 3.2. I passed for Allen Robinson again, and he went the next pick at 3.3. I totally get it. But I tried to stay disciplined, and you could see a lot of the drafters did stay disciplined. There was amazing value in this draft. And you and I talked about drafting on the end cap. So in this draft, when I was...
Well, let me ask you a question. When you take Kyler Murray,
seventh round, by the way, seventh.
You're Kyler Murray right after you. Now you start to see. All right, so in the beginning of the sixth round, you start to see some quarterbacks fall. Russell Wilson gets taken. Dak Prescott. I take Dak ahead of Russell. Whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. They both go. I think the Russell Wilson guy is going to be disappointed with his pick.
Yes. Well, now, okay. So that, as soon as I saw Russell Wilson and Dak, so the sixth round was where I was going to be targeting the quarterback. So I saw Russell Wilson go off. I saw Dak go off. So at that point, you know, I was thinking Kyler Murray or Josh Allen, whoever falls to me, I'm taking there. And then, you know, the sixth round happened. I was up in the sixth round. I chose not to take a quarterback because knowing the team right after me already had their quarterback, so I could wait. So at that point, I saw Josh Allen on the ADP list. I used the default rankings to my advantage, was way lower. So that would be a tough choice, Kyler Murray or Josh Allen. So I just took Kyler Murray. He was next in the rankings list. And I was thinking, you know what? That's just my quarterback. Later on, I'll get another, you know, Jared Goff type or Jimmy Garoppolo later, not knowing that our guy, I mean, Josh Allen.
The fact that Josh Allen dropped to round 11 is bananas. And
I got him there.
Now, let me ask you a question, because when you're taking Kyler Murray, you had made this decision in your mind. All right, I got to get my quarterback. You know, Dak is gone. Deshaun, all of a sudden, Josh Allen will be gone soon. But I mean, you still have guys you like, Danny Jones. You know, you're thinking Deshaun Watson hanging around. So there are some guys that you like. You could have waited.
You don't know. So this goes back to what you said originally about drafting on the ends. You don't know. So you have to start taking calculated gambles. Do I punt and wait, or do I go early and get aggressive? Now, in hindsight, I could have waited, right? Because I would have gotten Josh Allen anyway a couple rounds later. But I do like how it turned out, because that did start a little run of quarterbacks. There was about five quarterbacks that went off the board before it came back the next way.
Okay, now let me, with the benefit of hindsight, make a quick adjustment based on the draft board to your team. Slight difference, right? And you tell me if you would feel better or worse about it like this. Knowing, number one, that Josh Allen was available after really a lot of quarterbacks that you like him more than, all the way in round 11. And knowing, and here's the big one, that Darius Geis was available in round 7 where you took Kyler Murray.
Yep.
So how do you feel about your draft if instead of taking Singletary, you grab Terry McLaurin there? Okay, now it's Robinson, Shark, McLaurin, Fuller. Now you've got 4 super stud wide receivers. Love all of them, right? You're down Devin Singletary. You wait a little bit. Now in round 7, you pick up Darius Geis as your 3rd running back instead of Singletary. More upside, a little higher risk in terms of injury compared to Devin Singletary, but I say significantly more upside to become a stud running back. And you wind up a few rounds later with Josh Allen. The whole draft changes for you, I think, for the better, with the benefit of that hindsight, though I like your draft. But what do you feel about had you done that? Like, obviously, you didn't know that Josh Allen's going to drop to there. We didn't know that Geis was going to be there at that moment. But, you know, interesting difference in with the benefit of hindsight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we go through this a lot when we do when we gamble on Sunday, right? When we say, oh, if I'd only known that this play was going to happen, I would have gambled on the other team. And then you would have won instead of losing. Yeah. So what I was looking for with that 3rd running back, so it really the way I played it had a lot to do with how the earlier board fell. When I was looking to secure my 3rd running back, Singletary, I was looking more for floor than I was for ceiling from a 3rd running back. I feel like I already have high floor, high ceiling, my first 2 running backs. So I wanted just someone I could feel good about that I'm not going to be overly concerned about injury. And we know Darius Geis is a first round running back if healthy. And, but there, you know, obviously that risk does exist. He's had soft tissue injuries a couple of years in a row. So I'm actually more comfortable with the way it fell, but I agree with you knowing Josh Allen, and there's no way you could have known that he would have gone after Matt Ryan, Daniel Jones, all these other guys that were, you know, I like Josh Allen a lot better. He's our QB5 in our DFS Army rankings. Yes, it would not have hurt to have had McLaurin there as a rock solid wide receiver 3. You could take this board apart 10 ways to Sunday.
I always do it. You know me. I'm not here trying to criticize you. This is exactly what I do. Have there ever been a draft I've been with you where I go, oh man, if I could have that spot back now?
Yeah, of course. But you don't have
that's
that.
That's where I went wrong.
Mm-hmm. So, but also I'm also very comfortable and glad I have 2 really good young job secure quarterbacks that I'm going to be able to play the matchups with, and also protection against coronavirus. It's you don't just want it. There's some teams that went the route of having Ryan Tannehill and Jimmy Garoppolo and Drew Lock as their trio of quarterbacks. And you're just, you know, it sounds good to have those 3 guys, especially in a best ball format, which this is not, because you never have to pick. But, you know, when the bullets start flying and on game day and your quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, gives you only 14 fantasy points, you're going to be like, oh. And then Kyler Murray has 28, you're going to be happy you have him. So
look at that full. I mean, all right. So you mentioned the Goff Garoppolo Rivers combo, and that's obviously Dalton Del Don's.
Yeah. Actually, let me make sure I'm accurate with that. Dalton's exact combo of QBs was Goff Garoppolo Rivers, right?
Yeah. Goff Garoppolo and Rivers. So Dalton basically, he used an approach where he said, hey, I'm going to load up on running back. I'm going to get some. I'm going to load up at running back early. I'm going to wait on quarterback like a maniac, right? I'm going to wait on tight end like a lunatic and just load up on running backs and then get some, get enough wide receiver talent in there that I could fill up that spot. And then I'll figure out the rest at the wide receiver. I mean, at the quarterback position is clearly what he did. So, you know, it's an interesting looking draft. I think it can go a lot of different ways when I look at his draft. Scroll all the way up if you don't mind, but
back up.
Yeah, if you could scroll all the way up there. I have it on my screen, but I want everybody to be able to see it. So he starts off with the 3 running backs. They look great. Mixon, Gordon, Connor. Again, we don't have the supreme superstars, but all 3 round bangers. They're in there in the game. AJ Brown, Devontae Parker, very good. I think Cam Akers was overkill there. I like the draft a lot more if McLaurin is in that spot. But whatever. Now he's got to figure out wide receiver three every week. It's going to be Lamb.
Which is hell.
Well, I mean, you just got to do it. It could be Breshad Perriman. Could be Jamison Crowder. I mean, he's got the whole Jets fucking team locked up here. So I guess if one of them gets the Rona, then the other one looks better. And, you know, you got Deontay Johnson, certainly a sexy name that everybody likes. CeeDee Lamb, again, bit of a reach there. Don't like the pick at all. Love the guy. Don't like the pick. Then you've got, you know, some Darrell Henderson. So he basically backed up Cam Akers with Darrell Henderson, which I love. You know, I'm very big in the age of the Corona of making sure you have a lot of backup handcuffs in place. Gio Bernard, I don't really. Yeah. So he's got the cuff in there for Mixon as well with Gio. All good stuff. I think he might absolute, have.
The other interesting thing about these drafts is how to play the tight end spot.
Well, the weight on tight end is very sketchy. Because you wind up, I mean, there's only really one quality tight end on Dalton's team, for example, Jared Cook, and he's a little sketchy. He's not a consistent guy. And I think with Emmanuel Sanders on that team, we have to be a little bit worried about the production from Jared Cook week to week. I like Blake Jarwin as a backup. You know, this draft, I do have concerns about the quarterback. I don't think that waiting that long was the right move.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have it. It's a definite strategy to wait on QB in these one QB leagues, and it can be done. I don't like to do that. I like picking from that middle tier. I like, you know, and then with tight end, I think, you know, going early tight end it really sets you up to be chasing the draft the rest of the time. Now, Mark Andrews, when he falls to the fifth round, it's an automatic for me. Any of those elite tight ends in the fifth is automatic. It rarely happens, but as we've talked about in other podcasts, I think there's a lot of value in that middle tier, tight end eight. Hunter Henry in my draft was, it's not a sexy pick. I was hoping Evan Engram would fall. There's a lot of upside there, but you feel safe starting Hunter Henry. I felt like he was the last of the guys you could feel like super safe starting. I guess Hayden Hurst, you know, but there's some speculation there. And Chris Liss went with Gronkowski in the middle of the ninth round. Where are you at on Gronk this year? Because I have a definite opinion on Gronk.
I know your opinion, and I disagree. Listen, I think Gronk has been out of football for
so enough time. Hold on. Start with, because not everybody listening knows our takes on Gronk.
So your take is, listen, Gronk is, he's coming back. He's going to be in and out of the lineup.
I'll explain my own take. What's your take on it?
I think Gronk is going to be great. Listen, I know that he has a repertoire with Tom Brady. Do I think he's going to be the Gronk of old? No, because Brady has a lot of options on that team, but he's a stud tight end. If he's in the game, if he's fully healthy, and we think he's going to be, he's been out of football for a little bit, but assuming he's back in it and his head's in the game, I think Gronk is going to be just fine. I think he's not going to be a top three or top four guy. I don't really see him getting 100 receptions or any sort of massive volume.
Gronk has never been a massive reception guy. Like, no. The last time we saw Gronk, his seasonal line was 45 catches for 500 yards and 3 touchdowns. That was the last
bad year, but he had some rough years towards the end.
Right. And then hasn't played football last year. Some people think that's a good thing for his body repair. We know Gronk is never locked to play a full season. Now, I'm not saying Gronk won't have games, but he's going to be, and he's entering his age 31 season. Tight ends, the elite tight ends, and Gronk obviously is among the elite tight ends, tend to age better. Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, those guys played well into their late 30s. So age isn't a major problem. I just think, you know, I mean, I can understand why there's Gronk hype where, you know, him and Brady have had a connection, but it doesn't line up well in this situation. He feels like a big name that's going to be overdrafted in most fantasy football drafts.
I don't think he was overdrafted here.
No, he seems like appropriately drafted here.
This is the right spot. You know, Gesicki went next, Austin Hooper, Noah Fant, and Jonah Smith, who is a sleeper, were the next group taken. So like, shit, yeah, that's the spot to take Gronk. Am I taking Gesicki over Gronk? No. Do I like Gesicki? Yes, but I'll probably take Gronk ahead of him, but those two are close. And then you got Hooper and Noah Fant, I'm not a fan of. You know, Jonah Smith, I like as a sleeper. So yeah, I mean, that's the right spot. Now, I have a problem if you're taking Gronk, like, you know, over Darren Waller or over some other names, but I might have taken Gronk even ahead of Hayden Hurst. I don't really love
Would you take Gronk or Hunter Henry?
That's a, you know, that's the question. That's the decision point.
How about Gronk or Evan Ingram?
Definitely Ingram.
Okay. So you see a tier break between Ingram and Hunter Henry and Gronk.
Yeah, I know. I kind of have Hunter Henry and those guys and Cook and Hurst and Gronk and even Gesicki all in the same sort of tier. Like, whatever. They're all
Geek. It's
unexciting.
Breast tax time. I want you to give me a grade A through F for my, fell and make a prediction. I'm going to do a humble brag right here. In this high stakes league, I've been competing it. This is year 7 for me. I've actually won the league 4 of the last 6 years. The league prize, not the overall. The overall, the $200,000, I didn't come close. But
all right.
I won the league prize. 4 of the last. Yeah. So I don't mind touting myself.
To be in a league like this with really, really strong players, with names, with guys who are putting up $400 or $375, whatever it costs, to be in a league like this and to win it 4 out of 6 times is absolutely telling. When we say, you know, season long says is here, he does not fuck around. This guy is good at what he does. This is who I listen to for my fantasy football advice. These are the reasons why.
Now, there is luck involved.
There's always luck. There's always injuries. Shit happens. But I've seen a lot of luck fall against you, and you still pull these things out. Last year, drafting fucking Antonio Brown
and Odell Beckham were my
and
first
Odell
picks last
and,
year.
And winning. So very impressive stuff. Now, let me just go through your draft. I want to now go through some of these drafts and say what I like. So I love the last part of your draft here. N'Keal Harry in round 12, spectacular. Josh Allen in round 11, unbelievable. Harrison Butker, so he took a kicker very early.
That was a point of controversy, right there.
It should be taking a kicker that soon. I would have taken a defense there. Can I explain?
Can I at least go into that?
Yeah, so explain your pick of Harrison Butker.
Okay, so I took it. So in this league, it's start a kicker, start a defense. I know many of you, self-included, don't play in kicker defense leagues anymore. It's a little bit more of a pain in the ass than it is worth the grind. And we're all in 5, 10, 8, 8, 10, 15 leagues now. So who wants to be grinding for kickers? So my strategy in this league, Geek, was I wanted to get a locked in good kicker that has a late buy. Harrison Butker qualifies. He's on a good team, Kansas City Chiefs. He's an excellent kicker, and he has a week 10 bye. By week 10, I'll know if I'm in the playoff hunt or not. Only the top two team makes it. So I won't have to make that tough decision in week 6 whether to drop my kicker and pick up another marginal kicker. Now, a lot of people argue, hey, these kickers, you never know who's going to be in the top 10. Just take one at the end. They change every year. That is true, except at the margins, at the top. Harrison Butker, Will Lutz of the Saints, and Justin Tucker, for the last half decade, have been locked in top 3 kickers. So there is an advantage. Now, here's the other thing, Geek, and follow me, and I'm just curious of your thoughts on this thought process, that you're going to want. So the best weeks on the waiver wire are week 1 and week 2. That's where the guys emerge that we didn't know, that didn't get drafted. That's where Marquise Brown emerges. That's where DJ Shark emerges. So you're going to want to have a fluid roster in order to make pickups in week 1 and week 2. Now, if you take a kicker in round 12, 13-ish, like I did, you're going to be more comfortable dropping the players that you took in round 19 and 20 versus doing it the other way. So, like, for example, if you took your sleepers in round 12 and 13, and then you took your kicker in round, the end, you're going to be a little bit more goosey about dropping your round 12, 13, 14 sleepers. Whereas the guys you took at the end, for me, it was Cole Beasley and John Ross. You'll cut them like that.
All fair analysis. I like the Harrison Butker pick. I don't hate it. Listen, if I'm just telling you what I always say what I would do. If I'm on the board here and I Preston Williams is still available and I'm taking Preston Williams. You know, like there are just other ways I might have gone, but I love
the idea. These are the players that went. Like you said, it was rookie running backs. It was Darrington Evans, Josh Kelly. You talked about Preston Williams. There was QBs, which I didn't need at that point. There was more rookie receivers. It was Brandon Ayuk. There was a couple defenses went. So at that point, I'd rather have, a great kicker that with a late buy.
These are just the people who you all mentioned are bench pieces that you hope will emerge as a startable piece. But you're going to play.
Butker's going to start for me every week.
I actually think Harrison Butker, because he's on such a high scoring team, actually gives you a marked advantage over every other kicker, where that's going to add 3 to 4 fantasy points to your team, which is, you know, a solid 2 or 3% boost to your team compared to a lot of these other kickers. So it's fine. It's perfectly good. Now, on the flip side, I could say like Kamie Fairbairn in the last round.
Yeah, but could very easily be the same. But Houston was terrible last year. Now they just lost their best offensive weapon in DeAndre Hopkins.
You know how it is. Jeremy
Fairbairn, he's a good bet to be a top 10 kicker, but would you be surprised if he was kicker 16?
No. You know, right. It could be anyone. Will Lutz went 3 rounds later though, and so there were other guys you could have taken. If you waited, okay, it would have been fine. But let me just, it's not a big point of emphasis because we're very late in the draft here. We're not talking about starters. We're, you know, in the players that you're picking here.
And I still got my sleepers.
I love it. So when I looked at this draft, I said, all right, he's got N'Keal Harry, Paris Campbell. Great. You're talking about Steven Sims. We'll see what happens there. Beasley, John Ross, all good. Great finish. Your team is solid. Now, if I'm grading your team, I give it a B+, solid.
You don't have to be kind. You could be ruthless if you want.
It's not a ruthless thing. I see one or two spots where I think it could have gone a little different, could have been better. If you wanted the A, you would have had to not take Singletary there. You would have had to grab McLaurin there. You would have had to sort of wait on QB and get Josh Allen without having to use that spot on Kyler Murray. You'd have Darius Geis instead. There were like two or three little moves that could have been made here that would have made that draft like unbelievable, A+, right. So, to win this league.
So I'm somewhere, I'm like a low B+, high B. Grade Chris Liss's draft. He was team five. He went the zero running back route.
All right, so Chris Liss, looking at his draft, Thomas Hill, Beckham, McLaurin start with Mark Andrews, the wide receiver, pass catcher position, spectacular. Mark Andrews is in there. So DeAndre Swift, Ronald Jones, Jordan Howard, a very brutal group of running backs. I actually think DeAndre Swift was a great value there. But with Jones and Howard, we're going to have to hope that somebody emerges. Even looking down with Nyheim Hines, with A.J. Dillon, with Jerick McKinnon, I think there's going to be some concerns here about having a second, any real production out of the running back position that is any good at all. So I don't love
give
that.
Give him a draft grade.
I'm going to give this one, unfortunately, a C-.
Ooh.
I love the top portion of the draft. I just think that he is going in. This can be turned around, but in the age of the Rona, we're going to have a lot of injuries. We're going to have a lot of running backs coming off the board, but he's going to need almost a miracle if he's going to have a strong enough running back crew that will carry you to a championship. It's going to take a miracle in some way or incredible waiver wire pickups in a 20 deep league. It's just a long shot for me to turn this one around. As much as I love the pass catches, and it hurts me to say it.
And then lastly, give Dalton Del Don of Yahoo Sports, give him a draft grade. He picked 7th. He started with Mixon, Melvin Gordon, James Conner. His primary wide receiver core is going to be A.J. Brown, Devontae Parker, and a mix of CeeDee Lamb, Deontay Johnson.
I hate that you're making me give people grades because I hate pissing in anyone's Cheerios on a draft.
No, I don't think so. I mean, was it close?
I don't like doing it.
If you're too scared, I could do it.
No,
I
mean, I'm never too scared. I'm going to give him a solid C+ here.
Mm,
and again, grader. C being average. No, C is average. Listen, average draft, you don't get to go that high. No one gets an A.
All right.
Right? Well, I'm not Yahoo. Sorry, Dalton, but I'm not Yahoo. So
and then go into I liked his draft better than you did.
With Dalton, I'm going to just say what my concerns are here. I have a concern about that wide receiver 3 position a little bit, but more so a little bit with the quarterback and the tight end position. I just wish that he would have taken a quarterback maybe where Jameson Crowder was. Daniel Jones was available for that pick instead. I really would like the team a lot better with Danny Dimes on it as the starter instead of Jared Goff. Jared Goff just will give you 12s every once in a while. Like, he'll have a good game, but then he'll have a terrible one. So he's just not that consistent for me. I'd rather have like a Daniel Jones on there. And I don't think Garoppolo and Rivers are reasonable sort of like streaming options. I think they're fine and they'll get you your 14 to 16s.
All right.
But I want quarterbacks that can produce 20-plus points more often than not. So I'm a little concerned there. And I have some concerns about both the tight end and WR3 position on that team. So,
we got it, man. All right. Well, that covers it. Yeah. That's the 2020 Beat Chris List RotoWire Online Championship. I certainly recommend it. if you love fantasy football, you have the means to do a high stakes league, $350. Trust me, it's painful for me to throw down $350 on that too. I'm not a rich man by any means, but you really find out, Geek, what you're ranking.
You won from this league.
You really find out what your rankings are when you're playing in a $350 league. Like, you find out who you like and who you don't like, because every pick matters. It's not some $5 best ball where you're like, all right, I'll take an extra share of this guy or take an extra share of that guy. In a high-stakes league, you find out who you really do like.
One thing I loved a lot about your draft and what you've explained to me about Chris's draft, and you know, and we're talking about guys who with Chris and Dalton, of course, are known fantasy football prognosticators, but also guys that put out rankings and really discuss their preferences on air, and they put their notes out there so you're aware, is that the drafts look like what they've been saying they're into. And I like that. So I like people who draft to their convictions. You know, when I first looked at your draft, you know, Drake, Eckler, all these guys, Allen Robinson, DJ Chark, these are all, Will Fuller, all names on your rankings list that you like more than the field. You mentioned to me about how much Chris likes Odell Beckham for the bounce back. So I love when you sort of see your convictions, don't worry as much about ADP at that point, and you just say, you know what, this is who I like. I'm going to ride or die with what I'm saying. Even if I'm grasping at someone a little bit earlier than maybe ADP wants me to, but I'm going to live or die with my approach, because the worst thing you could do is just get nervous in a draft. And this is the rookie sort of error that people make. Get nervous, say, well, oh, this guy's showing next ADP, and even though I like this guy a little bit more, well, you know, I'm just going to go with consensus. No, draft your players that you like, put your convictions into it, and then if you're right, your research, whatever your convictions are, if they're right, you get to ride your approach to a championship. And that feels a lot better than just getting scared off by some ranking that Kevin gave you or says gave you, where you're like, man, I really like this guy, but you know, I looked at a ranking and this other guy's ahead, let me take him. And then you feel bad the whole season that you didn't go with your gut. So I like the go with your gut that I see going on with some of these drafts.
Wrap it up. Let's get out of here.
You know, we'll see how it goes. So there we have it. A little breakdown. High dollar league. Serious money on the line. You get to see what the, you know, ADPs are, what some serious players are doing here. I love stuff like this. So wishing everybody the best of luck in this Chrysalis Beat Chris List League. I hope. Is there a prize just for beating Chris?
Yeah. So they give out a membership to their site if you place ahead of him.
All right. What's the site?
Yeah, rotowire.com. And okay, you know, so like you, I said, they focus on a lot of different sports, do a lot of different cool things.
So everybody who finishes ahead of him. So you know, that's a good reason to focus on his draft, because I think it's a good chance some people are getting some RotoWire memberships here at the end of the season. We'll see. And we'll be back again. So this was a lot of fun. Well, as we were talking about this on the phone, we just said, hey,
next year, why don't you come in and join this league?
When you mentioned it, I saw you tweet about it, and I'm like, hey, let me check it out. And by the time I went to look, it was filled. So, you know, I'm certainly down next to do year. Pretty much. It's harder for me to do in-season management leagues now with how busy I am with the DFS side. I have so many managed leagues. But yeah, I'll jump in there next time and get in one of these. Meanwhile, for myself and Says, we will be back, as always, weekly with more bold calls, season-long fantasy football breakdowns. Make sure to like and subscribe to the channel wherever you're listening so you get notified when we go live. And of course, if you want to sign up for DFS Army, you can get our draft kit, which is fully ready to go and available. All the rankings, sleepers, everything that you want in a draft kit, 2QB, 1QB, Dynasty, best ball, everything you need right there. You sign up at dfsarmy.com VIP. You will get it all. And in season, you get sit start questions. You get a Slack channel with my man season long Says, and now Flex Shane on the team.
Oh yeah.
Answering very questions myself, answering questions, helping out, helping you draft, helping you win your leagues. That's what we do. Seslowski, four to six times has won this league. That is not a fucking joke. I could show you my best ball record from last year. Cashed in 16 out of 21 best ball leagues. Unheard of. That's what we do around here. Bold calls.
Got the best coaches in the game. We really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we hit the block, helmets casket is top. You be seeing helmet after helmet, helmet after helmet. First place, second place, fifth place, eighth place, 12th place, 15, 16, 20. So many helmets, you got blurred vision, we got...